Well, one of the I think one of the surprising benefits of this global shutdown seems to be the decrease in pollution. I wonder whether you noticed that. We can see things a little bit more clearly. I wonder whether you've noticed the stars at night. There seems to be more than I can remember. Seen in the city, you know, if you go out of the city into the bush, you see the amazing sight of the Milky Way. But to see part of that in the city now, I think that's pretty cool. I wonder what else you've noticed. You know, whether you're hearing and seeing more birds. I even heard, whether you saw this week, dolphins have been bringing gifts from the ocean to where people used to feed them because there's no one around. That's pretty extraordinary. But also amazing on our walks at the moment, we're noticing the change in all the autumn, change in the leaves in all their autumn splendour. So a question this morning, when was the last time you stopped and looked at the wonder of God's creation? If you did, how did you respond to what you saw? We got a glimpse of that in the photos from the Hubble telescope, the extraordinary universe. See, Psalm 19 verse 1 says that the heavens declare the glory of God. Creation points to the majesty, the wonder, the beauty of its creator. The word glory comes from the word meaning weight or worth. We see abundant evidence of God's weight or worth by looking at his creation. Yeah, and there's no part of the natural world that is silent about God that doesn't carry his fingerprints. You know, last week in Psalm 13, it seemed to David that God was silent. But now in Psalm 19, God is not silent. Psalm 19 is all about the voice of God. Psalm 19 is God's megaphone to us. You know, I think we have lots of questions at the moment. You know, where is God and what is he doing? But from the very beginning of creation, God has been speaking to us one long sermon, much longer than mine, from heaven. But his glory, his majesty, his divine nature has been revealed to us from the beginning of creation. And now God speaks to us personally through his word. So the question for us this morning that Psalm 19 asks of us, are we listening? You know, are we listening to God's voice? So Psalm 19, are we listening to the voice of God in creation? Let's see in verses 1 to 6. Are we listening to the voice of God in his word in verses 7 to 10? And are we listening to the voice of God in our life? Verses 11 to 14. So there you go, good three-point sermon this morning about God speaking to us. But importantly, are we listening? More than that, are we responding to God's megaphone, God's revelation to us in creation and his word? Are we responding to that? So that's where we're going this morning. So point one, the voice of God in creation. Psalm 19 verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands. Now, as I said, God's creation, it's his megaphone revealing the beauty of creation. No part of the natural world is silent about God. See, there has never been a time in creation that God that has not been raving about God. I don't know if you're a fan of David Attenborough, you can't miss the glory and wonder of our creation that he invites us to marvel in. The shame that he doesn't. So you can't shut creation's mouth. Verse 2, day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. See, creation tells us there is a God and he's powerful. Verse 4, yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. So what we see here is that God reveals himself generally to the world. What we can know from creation, well, there is a God. And he is amazingly powerful. You know, there's 100 billion stars in the Milky Way. As I said, we saw the pictures of the Hubble telescope. They reveal the glory, the majesty, and the power of God. Just hanging up in space, glorifying and returning the glory back to God. You know, the amazing thing is that God spoke all this into existence. And he keeps speaking to us to the ends of the earth through his creation. But sadly, often the question that is asked is, what about those who have not heard about God? Well, from Psalm 19, well, they don't exist. As Paul reminds us in Romans 1, verse 20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature has been clearly seen. Not just that, but understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. You know, creation may say, well, it may not say everything, but what it does say is very clear. God's creation say, read my lips. But people choose to ignore God's revelation in his creation. But it's not because of a lack of evidence. The message extends everywhere in verse 4. You know, there is a God, he is powerful, who made everything, including you and me. And here is the response. He is worthy of our praise. Is that how you look at creation? Is that how you look at God, that he's worthy of our praise? See, God will not judge people on what they don't know, but always on what they know. And what they know about God, they have rejected. They exchange the truth for a lie, and on that last day, no one will be able to plead ignorance. God has made himself known powerfully, majestically, and gloriously in all his creation. But look at the image in verse 5 here of the sun bursting out like the bridegroom from the bride chamber as the light of the sun reaches into every corner, crack, crevice, under every rock. This is an image of the light of the revelation of the glory of God through creation. It reaches every human who walks on the face of this earth. But I think it's tragic that people exchange the truth for a lie and worship the creation but not the creator. Now, I love the surf. I love diving in the surf. I love trying to surf it, feeling the power of the water washing over you, feeling the sense of God's power washing over you. But it's sad to see that so many turn surfing into a religion rather than to worship the Maker. But equally, what is tragic is when Christians, when we as Christians don't look up and see the heavens and having our breath taken away, don't turn and praise our God. You know, pollution may be obscured creation, but have we been ignoring God? We can ignore God in our failure to praise him in his beauty and wonder that surrounds us. God's voice is speaking to us in creation each and every day. Are we listening? Are we praising him? As you look into the heavens, it's not the language of words, verses 3. You know, they have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them. But boy, do they reveal and speak to us of the glory and wonder of God. As one writer pointed out, in Psalm 19, it gives us two books to know God, the book of creation and the Bible. Creation reveals his glory, his worth. Scripture reveals his word. So point two, the voice of God in the word. To be technical, that's known as special revelation. For you notice that the change for the word of God changes from to the specific name of God, Yahweh or Lord. He's not just God, but he is Lord. See, Psalm 19 moves from how God reveals himself generally to all people to now that he speaks, that God's voice now speaks to his people personally. And look at the depth of God's word. And you know, there's six titles for the word of God in verses 7 to 9. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statute of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right and giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. Law, precepts, decrees, commands, I guess in a sense that all the 66 books of the Bible are all about what God wants us to know about himself. But notice that all these titles are tied to the Lord. Because the Bible comes from the very mouth, the very heart of God himself. And God's word reveals him and his character. But did you notice the one title that stands out? And I think this is deliberate. In verse 9, it's the fear of the Lord. I think that's a really strange way to describe God's word. Normally the fear of the Lord is a response to him. But I think what verse 9 is pointing out is, see, our attitude to the Bible reveals our attitude to God. And our attitude to God reveals our attitude to the Bible. As Isaiah says in chapter 66, verse 2, these are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. God speaks to us in creation. God speaks to us in and through his word. For the Bible carries God's authority. There is nothing higher. So I think we can read scripture at a time and be selective of what we read or like. You know, some parts are difficult or they're hard words. But really at the heart of what that means for us is it's either God who changes or it's me. And you know it's always me. You know, so God spoke to us to be understood and to be obeyed. You know, we can't look at the surf at the moment to determine how we manage coming out of isolation and meeting together. We need to the Bible to know what God thinks and what his will is to find wisdom. You know, Romans 13 says, submit to the authorities who govern over us. But did you also notice the qualities of the word of God? You know, these are his words that come from his mouth, from the very heart of God, that actually reflect his character, what God is like, what we can know of him. He is perfect. His word is perfect and he is perfect. The word is pure. It's precious. It's right and radiant. It's sweet and sure. It's trustworthy and timeless. What a God. You know, God's word is sweet. Do we read the Bible out of habit or duty? There's a sense of a habit of reading is good. But do we see God's word more valuable than gold and sweeter than honey? That's what Israel found in the promised land. But is that how you think of God and his word? Or is it a drag? Is it boring? Is it dry? You know, Leviticus and Numbers are difficult to read, but without them, we wouldn't understand how Jesus fulfills all the law. David is saying, listening to the voice of God in his word, it should be a joy, like eating pavlova with cream and strawberries, with passion fruit and crunchy sprinkled all over the top. That's got you salivating now, hasn't it? But that's how we ought to desire God's word, more than money or a good meal or something sweet. Yeah, there are many voices coming at us in this world. For many of us, there's many apps at our fingertips, you know, worldly ideas and worldly wisdom yelling at us. They're not just whispering. You know, we think that God is yelling at us in a megaphone through creation's word, but all these apps, worldly ideas and wisdom are yelling at us each day. You know, they're just a fingertip away. You know, over morning, what is the first app you touch? You know, what is the first thing you reach for in the morning? Or what app are you always reaching and checking on? The email and Facebook and Instagram. Maybe it's a game app that takes our attention when distracted or doing nothing. That's a problem for me too. But how profitable is God's word for life now and life eternal compared to the voices of the world that we subtly consume each day? You know, the voices of the world that we just let wash over us, but we are taking them in whether we know it or not. God's word is perfect. It's complete. Having integrity, it's pure. There's no unwholesome element. It's sure. It's a solid foundation for life. Here's a challenge for us and those who are technology savvy and they've got their phones and iPads. There's plenty of Bible apps. Maybe have that at your fingertips and remind it from Psalm 1 to meditate on the word of God day and night. It awakens and refreshes your soul. It makes you wise for salvation. When was the last time you tried to memorize it and go over and let the Word of God to speak to you? God speaks to us. We hear His voice to us in His Word. And that's why our growth groups are important as well. There's many purposes of growth groups, but the Bible guides all that we do. All of us this morning, we have the Bible in our hands, not to be left on the shelf, but to open and read. And as you do, to discover the glory and character and purpose and plan of God for your life. See, God's Word meets every need of every hurting human heart. And as we heard last week in Psalm 13, that's all of us. We all put our story there in David's story in Psalm 13. But God's Word, it revives the soul. And these words are not idle words. They are your life for us to meditate on them and take them to heart. You know, God's Word is sufficient for every good work, as we read in 2 Timothy 3. Every good work, everything you need to know to be everything God wants you to be is in His Word, all graciously given by God. He makes Himself known in creation, but personally through His Word. He's a God who wants to be known and wants to know you personally. And such understanding, verse 8, rejoices the heart. It gives you real joy to know that God loves you and that He is in control of everything. And don't we need to know that at the moment? Now's the time to stop listening to the world and listen to God, and you'll taste and know that He is good. Point 3. The voice of God in our life, responding to God's Word in our life. See, the Bible is not given for speculation or for study alone, but to apply it, not just to know things, but for it to change you in your life. Verse 11, by then your servant is warned, in keeping them there is great reward. Each Sunday in our growth groups and Bible readings, in your own Bible reading, do you come expecting God to speak to you? Not to me, not me. God is the one speaking to us. He promises to speak to us through His Word. The Word is His voice to us. To hear, and we need to respond to it. So here's the challenge. Are you prepared for God to encourage you if you have self-doubts and self-condemning? That's what His Word does for us. His Word convicts you if you think more highly than you ought. His Word afflicts you if you are too comfortable. It'll comfort you if you are afflicted. When was the last time you were convicted by the Word of God? Convicted to change. Verse 12, but who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. So the effect of God's Word, it will warn you of future sins. It will convict you of your past sins and expose hidden sins that you haven't seen. So there are times when you know what God wants you to do and you act like a defiant child and says, no, I will not. We've all had those moments. Well, we approach God's Word at times, and some of those words are difficult to us. But we see here that David doesn't want either kind of sin to dominate his life, and so he prays that God will deliver him. There's no other way of pleasing God. Verse 14, may these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So David is aware that sin lies deeper than outward actions. And so he prays that the words of his mouth and the meditation of his heart will be acceptable to God. He asks that God's Word searches our innermost being and shows us wrong thoughts, which are the source of wrong words and wrong deeds. Hebrews 4, the Word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. See, we've got to let God's word shine into the inner recesses of our heart and scour away the sin which we so often try to hide. Let it shape our heart. It's always a heart issue before it's a mouth issue. And we can be starving ourselves from God's word if we don't. If we do, we starve ourselves from God himself and all that he wants for us. God wants us to walk in the freedom that is found in the Lord Jesus. But do you notice that David's response to God as my rock and my redeemer? He didn't say my accuser and my judge, but my rock and my redeemer. You know, a rock refers to a place of refuge where a sinner can run for protection and rest. You know, a redeemer refers to the one who has protected or rescued someone from bondage and slavery by paying a required price. And my means that David has fled personally to God for redemption. See, the word of God will take you to Jesus stretched out on the cross, ready to forgive anyone who comes with a broken and contrite heart. Are we listening to the voice of God in our life today? Are we letting the word of God to wash over us, to meditate, to chew on it? For there we will find life in all its fullness. See, God's voice in creation shows us how awesome he is. It reveals his glory. God's voice in his word shows us how we can be right with him and how we can live a truly blessed life, as we remember from Psalm 1. And God's voice in our life, our response should be to face our sin and submit to living to the one true God who made himself known through his word, world and through his word. And his word that became flesh, his son, our rock and our redeemer. So that we'll live a life praising our glorious, majestic, radiant, powerful, personal God. Psalm 19 is God's megaphone to us. God is shouting at us, I'm here, I made everything, I'm powerful, I'm in control. But we see in the word that became flesh, he says, I love you, I care for you, and I know you personally by name. You know, as we read in Psalm 8, you know, what is man that God is mindful of him? You know, God doesn't just speak. He knows us personally. He's mindful of us. Can I encourage you, as we wander this amazing world that we have, as we come out of isolation, to look up into the heavens, to the moon and the stars and praise our God? But can I encourage you to let the word of God sink deep into your heart? Let it encourage you. Let it convict you. Let it change you. Let it be the source of your life. Well, I think an appropriate way for us to respond is to pray together. Just to pray verse 14. I think it'd be great for us to say this together. And let this be a prayer of our hearts. Let this be the desire of our hearts as we go about our week. So in your homes together, let's read verse 14. Let's make this a prayer for us as we respond to God's voice to us this morning. Let's pray together. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen.